What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, and we are here today on the wake, pretty much, of the legal tampering period beginning today at 12. So we're approaching it 10:30 right now, an hour and a half until teams are able to legally start negotiating with current free agents ahead of the free agent cycle, which begins legally on Wednesday and officially at the new, you know, start of the new league year on Wednesday. So, we're not going to dive too much into the free agent market as a whole, but today, as you can see, we will be discussing the quarterback market. So we're going to talk about the quarterbacks who have already signed deals that we saw last week, talk some Lamar Jackson, some Aaron Rodgers with still no news, but, you know, news on the horizon with Aaron Rodgers, and then get into some of the quarterbacks that we're going to be seeing strike some deals here within the next couple of days, and potentially even today with the legal tampering period beginning at 12 o'clock. But it will not just be me alone. We will have a guest on today's show, bringing him in now, Trey Mead, coming in as a guest here on the Slaw Sports Show. So, Trey, pleasure to have you today.
Thank you for having me, Cole. I'm a longtime fan, first-time guest contributor here on the Slaw Sports Show. So I'm just super excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you, Trey. But before we get into this quarterback trade market, the last couple of weeks, what I've been doing at the start of the show has been the buzz. Talking about the buzz of what's been going on, especially doing the show now on Mondays. What happened over the weekend yesterday? Bombshell trade. Jalen Ramsey is now a Miami Dolphin. The LA Rams moved on from their star cornerback that they traded two first-round picks for a couple of years back from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He obviously led them to a Super Bowl ring 2 years ago, and now it seems like this Rams team, you know, Leonard Floyd, we talked about last week, out, potentially Allen Robinson on the trade block. The week before, Bobby Wagner released from the Rams, and now this one, Jalen Ramsey, three straight weeks on the buzz, we talk about the Rams moving on from a player. The trade, official, and Jalen Ramsey, now a Miami Dolphin. The LA Rams, in return, get the number 77 overall pick in this year's draft, a third-round pick from the Miami Dolphins going to LA, along with Hunter Long, the tight end out of BC that they drafted just a couple years ago. Only one catch in his career, but he's going as part of this trade. Trey, what do you think? You know, what was your instant reaction from yesterday when this trade went down?
For Miami, I really love this trade. I think they got away with a very favorable decision there. They're really building that defense, looking at two really good cornerbacks now with Xavien Howard across from Jalen Ramsey. So I think that this defense is going to be much improved from last year. If you're a Miami fan, I think you love this. Obviously, you look at the Rams. It's a little surprising to see them trade for such low-value picks, I'll say. But not terribly surprising considering the moves we've seen, as you were just mentioning there, in recent memory from them. So overall, I really like this for Miami, and I can understand the decision moving on for the Rams.
Yeah, and I mean, the Rams, they talked about, less need, especially their GM, that their three cornerstone blocks are Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford. And he came out and said that with all the rumors of Stafford potentially, you know, being on the block. Is he going to get traded? Are they going to move on from his contract? But it seems like he is now, you know, they came out and immediately said that he is in place. But the interesting thing, they didn't include Ramsey in that decision, you know, the discussion of their cornerstone guy. So it was assumed that they would move him. The deal now done. I know I saw that the Detroit Lions were in on the mix as well to potentially get Jalen Ramsey. But, you know, they do right by, you know, Ramsey, grant him his wish with with what he wanted to do going forward, and now going here to the Miami Dolphins, a team he wanted to play for and play with. And, you know, it's a good 1-2 punch, like you said, with Xavien Howard as well. Now you got, you know, two number one wide receivers on offense, two number one cornerbacks, shutdown cornerbacks on defense. Great deal by the Miami Dolphins getting him in place. So that is the buzz. No big headlines really from yesterday outside of, you know, a few logisticals. Sterling Shepard re-signed. We had some extensions. Matt Milano with your Buffalo Bills coming back. But now let's talk about the quarterback class, Trey. It's time to talk about these QBs and the gunslingers here that we're going to be seeing on the move in the next couple of days. But we're going to bring it up, the graphic. And the graphic here, as we can see, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith already locked in. Let's start with Derek Carr. What did you see from this Derek Carr contract, and what do you think about this new fit with the New Orleans Saints now that it's signed, sealed, and delivered, and he's on his new team?
Sure. So when we first found out that Derek Carr was no longer going to be a Raider, everyone's mind is racing immediately because he's still a pretty high-value quarterback, I'd say, in the league. Despite his lack of success in Vegas, I think that there are plenty of teams that were so quarterback-hungry, and to get a guy like Derek Carr would be huge. Obviously, the Saints were one of those teams. I think this will fit for them. I think it's definitely worth a try for the New Orleans Saints if you're them. I wouldn't want too much of a veteran quarterback, and he's kind of in his, arguably, a little in his prime here, Derek Carr. So I think that this could definitely work for them. It's an upgrade from what I think they saw last year, I would hope. And if you're not looking at a huge Derek Carr regression, I think that this will definitely improve the Saints' chances of winning in their division and in the NFC as a whole.
So looking at the numbers, it was a four-year, $150 million deal, $100 million guaranteed, kind of what we were expecting to see from Derek Carr in this market. And, you know, going into free agency was big. And, you know, it sucks for the Raiders, but it seems like it's what Derek Carr wanted. You know, whatever team he wanted to go to, he didn't want them burning capital to get him. They wanted to save the capital, use it, in the draft, use it to make some trades to build that team up. But $100 million guaranteed, $2.5 million at the signing, essentially a two-year, $70 million contract, end-all, be-all with the guarantees and how that split up, front-heavy on the guarantees, which fits well with the Saints' cap situation, you know, in purgatory the last few years, continuing to kick the can down the road. But Derek Carr coming in here, now they get him for essentially 2 years, and then you can see a potential extension, but I think that's great. 2 years, see what you got in the guy. I thought it was a good deal. Guy went 6-9 last year with the Raiders while he was the starter. End of the year, you know, that was a different story with the Raiders and Derek Carr, you know, that weird benching, no longer with the team. But nevertheless, I like this deal. The Saints with Derek Carr seemed like a good fit. I like the Saints jumping in before the Jets could get involved really heavily with Derek Carr, and especially, you know, the Panthers also reported interest. They beat a division team to snag him. Was another big deal. So I thought this was good for the Saints. We'll see what happens now with Michael Thomas and the Saints. But, you know, him teaming up with Chris Olave will be good, and that offense should potentially be right now, you know, the front runners in that, you know, weak NFC South division right now. And every team on that division has a quarterback problem. The Saints were the first one to jump in and get it figured out. Now, the Panthers did move up, also included in the buzz this past week into the number one pick. But, you know, they're, you know, quickly on their way to establishing that quarterback position as well. But the Saints get it done first. Next up, we got Danny Dimes. Big playoff berth by the New York Giants. Big playoff win by the over the Minnesota Vikings led to this deal. Struck last week, right before, minutes before the franchise tag deadline, Daniel Jones gets a multi-year deal. Saquon Barkley comes back to the Giants on the franchise tag, but a four-year, $160 million deal. So 10 more. Overall, $10 million more than Derek Carr, but only $92 million in guarantees compared to the $100 million we saw from Derek Carr. Danny Dimes, Trey, what are your thoughts?
I'm a little torn on this one, I can't lie. Similar to you, I was surprised to see them franchise tag Saquon Barkley. And given that decision, I understand why they would sign Daniel Jones in that regard. And when you look at the numbers, obviously your gut reaction is you feel like he's overpaid a little bit. But I just believe that that's the way the quarterback market is these days. I'm sure we'll talk about Geno Smith in just a second here, and he got a similar deal. And I don't hate it, I'll say. I'm not terribly against it if you're a Giants fan. I think you kind of wanted to see Daniel Jones for at least another year. Obviously, this is a larger contract than I think a lot of people were expecting, but it's not horrible. The only issue is I would have wished to see a little bit more success in the season to get him this contract. Did he really earn it with all of his performances? Yeah, the wins look great at the end of the year, but when you look at how they got there, it was a lot messier than I think a lot of people were hoping for. But I do like Brian Daboll. I have trust in that man to create Daniel Jones into a star quarterback, and I'm happy to at least see the Giants try with this.
Yeah, and the asking price is always $45 million. That's what Daniel Jones was going into this conversation with. ends up a $40 million deal. Obviously, this Derek Carr contract probably hurt him in the long run a little bit. You know, Derek Carr signing for less, him coming in, having to put it up to a four, you know, go down to a 40. But still, similarly got around the money he was looking for. A guy with 15 passing touchdowns last year getting a $40 million contract is pretty insane to me. But like you said, that's the way the market's headed, and that's the whole point of today's episode. But the end-all be-all, two-year 82, pretty much with the guarantees on Daniel Jones, so a two-year deal. Makes sense. You know, like you said, give him 2 years, see what he can do. Is this sustainable? What we saw last year, will it play into 2023 and the 2024 play? But yeah, Daniel Jones, you know, coming back with Saquon's going to be good as well. It seems like right now with the weak wide receiver market, you know, Sterling Shepard getting re-signed yesterday, I expect to see Darius Slayton get re-signed as well with the Giants. You know, get the guys back in that you know the offense. But it's looking like they're going to run it back with a lot of the same weapons in New York. You know, maybe they still go a first-round wide receiver potentially late in the first with their first-round pick. But seeming like the same weapons running it back in New York with Danny Dimes on a new deal. So next up, last one that has actually gotten an official deal so far is Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks. Comeback story. Comeback player of the year. Geno finally gets a multi-year deal. Round of applause to the guy who has lived his whole life on one-year contracts. They finally locked him in, and it was great to see, you know, John Schneider, also Pete Carroll at the press conference with Geno welcoming him back to the team. A three-year $75 million deal, $40 million of it, though, guaranteed. Congrats to Geno. That's all I got to say. Take it away.
Yeah, no, I congrats to Geno for sure. A lot of love for that guy. Good to see him succeed finally, as you said, after these years of just these one-year deals. And I'm, again, not terribly against it. I think that besides the initial surprise of seeing how much of that was guaranteed, I don't really think that Seattle had too many other options. Obviously, you'd like the performance that you saw with Geno. Instead of trying to mess around in the free agency market, you just say, all right, we'll try this again for at least another year. And the success was there. So why not try again? I have trust in Pete Carroll, I think, more so than I do in Geno Smith. But to look at Geno Smith's performance and say that he didn't make some great leaps and bounds in his playing style, getting that number one spot, you'd have to be crazy to say that. So obviously, it's not probably who everyone's expecting to see in that starting position. But if you're Seattle and you saw the success that he had, why not go with him? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, tremendous season by Geno Smith this past year. I mean, going through training camp, when I did my season previews back before the season began, I thought Drew Lock was going to win this job. I didn't have any faith in Geno, you know, being this guy in Seattle. He comes out week one and just absolutely takes it to Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Continues on the rest of the year, 30 touchdowns, a 9-8 record, got this team into the playoffs with help from, of course, the Detroit Lions, getting them in there, but still gets his team into the playoffs. An unfortunate ending in the wild card of the Niners, but a playoff berth, 30 touchdowns. It looks like, you know, good things are on the horizon for that Seahawks team. In terms of built teams in the NFL, the Seahawks are one of the best right now. With the young core that they have, you know, no really big cap restraints, a pick early in the top five in this year's draft, the fifth overall pick. And when I talked about the franchise tag deadline and my franchise tag candidates, I said Geno Smith, a potential 1 to 2 year contract extension. We see this 3 year, $75 million. To me, at first, that seemed like a lot. You know, with what I was expecting the Seahawks team to do for the future, a three-year deal, locking him in. But when you look at the guarantees, and now that the guarantees are out and see how it's dispersed, and essentially it's a one-year, $35 million in guarantees, and this is a contract that is easily able to get off of after the first year, even more so after the second year. So I do think quarterback's still in play at five with the Seattle Seahawks if one falls to them. But this contract put them in a great situation. They're no longer in a situation where they have to move up the board to take a quarterback. They can sit at five. If, say, Anthony Richardson falls to five, you pull the trigger. If the, you know, top quarterback you want is gone, you can take a Will Anderson. You can take a Jalen Carter at five. So this really put the Seahawks in a great situation for April's draft to let the board fall how they want it to. And, you know, however it falls, they're still in a great situation. And either way, Geno Smith still locked in on this contract. So next up, and this is, you know, the next two are really, really, you know, where you get to the nitty gritty of this conversation, because the first three are done. Lamar Jackson, the next one. Last week, we saw the franchise tag come into place, a non-exclusive franchise tag, which basically means the Baltimore Ravens, or it gives Lamar Jackson, starting Wednesday, the opportunity to speak with other teams and negotiate a contract. When a contract is agreed upon with another team, the Baltimore Ravens have the opportunity to match said contract. If they don't match it, the other team can give two first-round picks and acquire Lamar Jackson. So basically, the Ravens are tired of doing the work, is basically what this is. They said, it's not that we don't want Lamar. We got the tag on him. He's still with the Ravens right now. We're going to make the other teams go through this negotiation. Work with Lamar, because basically, I feel like they're done working with him. Let the other team do the gritty work. If you want that deal, you match it, keep Lamar in place, or go with two first-round picks from another team. But the kicker here, Trey, seven teams have now come out and said they do not want Lamar Jackson. The big reason why, a fully guaranteed contract that Lamar Jackson wants. What do you make of the situation in the future for Lamar Jackson?
It's tough. I agree with you. I think the Ravens made a fine decision here, letting the other teams essentially do the work for him. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. The issue obviously arises with that fully guaranteed money that Lamar is looking for. And even without that, I think it's a very difficult needle to thread, in that you want to create a contract that's favorable for your team, but also it's something that is not just super easily replicable for the Ravens, that they can just take that same contract and keep Lamar Jackson. So even without the issue of the fully guaranteed money, I found this a very difficult for another team to come in and create a contract that would be able to steal Lamar Jackson away from the Ravens. So I do think he'll play out at least in the next few years of his career in Baltimore, just simply due to the issue, as you mentioned, with the money and the contracts there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think he stays. And, you know, this is the part where we're also going to add some, you know, what we think prediction-wise now that these players aren't on contract. But I agree. I do think he sticks around in Baltimore. I don't see Baltimore moving on from him. I fully see this as we're tired of negotiating. We're done with the negotiation process. Let another team do all the gritty work for us. And I think a team would have to be bold to offer those two first-round picks and a potential fully guaranteed contract. Now, there are teams out there that need to be bold. The Indianapolis Colts, for example, now put in a pretty tricky situation where potentially three quarterbacks can go off the board before they pick in April's draft. Instead of waiting on the fourth best available quarterback, why not offer two first-round picks and get aggressive and get Lamar Jackson onto a team that they feel like can win, you know, immediately in Indianapolis? But still, the non-exclusive tag's a big one. It, you know, puts Baltimore out of the driver's seat now and just really lets them sit back and wait out this situation. This one will start heating up, like I said, on Wednesday. Lamar can't meet with other teams until the start of the league year, when that tag goes into place. So we'll have to wait until Wednesday, a couple more days, until we start hearing some more rumblings from Lamar. The worst thing I can see this situation going is the Ravens forcing him to play out on the tag, which I don't think he'll do. I think if that happens, it'll become an ugly holdout lasting well into training camp, potentially into the season. No one wants that. Everyone wants Lamar Jackson back on the field. The Ravens want a situation that's figured out and smooth going into training camp to figure out what their plan will be. But that's the current state of the Lamar Jackson situation. It seems like we're both on the same page, though. Return to Baltimore is the most likely scenario. Now what everyone has been waiting for, the time has come. Aaron Rodgers. We are still in wait-and-see mode with Aaron Rodgers. The guy is still, he has a lot of teams right now in his fist, especially the New York Jets and the Green Bay Packers. Still waiting on Aaron Rodgers, but the Jets flew out this weekend, met with Aaron Rodgers in Malibu, took him to LA, took him for a nice dinner, had a nice friendly conversation. Nothing has come out of it. I expected something to come out of it on Saturday. No news. Sunday rolls around. No news. We are now into Monday. We are almost an hour away from the start of the legal tampering period beginning. Rodgers said this decision will be done before free agency begins. He doesn't want to restrict anybody, the Packers, future team, anyone with his decision. Time is ticking, Trey. And this guy has yet to make his decision. We are quickly running out of time on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. The guy's going on, different panel groups. He's having flag football events. When is this decision going to come out? Is the kicker? Hopefully, ideally, we get some breaking news on today's show and we get some live reactions of Slaw's and immediate future as a Green Bay Packer fan. But Trey, it's gone too far.
I agree. It definitely taken way too long. I totally agree with you. I thought he would have this figured out after his darkness retreat. Clearly that is not the case. However, and yeah, I think he listed the top two teams in his mind, I would imagine, in the Green Bay and the New York Jets. There was talk about the Raiders as well. I know as a top organization for him, understanding there the connection with Devontae. I do think he'll probably play again at Green Bay. I understand why the Jets are sort of whining and dining him, though. He looks pretty good to fit in that offense. They really were just looking for a serviceable quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers certainly meets and exceeds that potential there. I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers is the perfect fit for that Jets team. They're young. They're just starting to get their wheels, and they're getting it at a very difficult time in that division with the Dolphins and the Bills. And similar issue exists with the Raiders. A very tough division, the AFC West. And if Derek Carr didn't work out, who's saying that Aaron Rodgers is? I'm not saying he's not a step up from Derek Carr, but to what degree can they really figure it out? So the issue of the difficult divisions there leads me to believe that Green Bay is still a solid answer for him. If he wants to win games, if he wants to make a playoff run, I think staying at Lambeau is probably the best option for Aaron Rodgers. Though I could understand moving over to the Jets just because of how talented that roster is. But personally, from an aesthetic standpoint, I think staying in Green Bay is probably the best looking option, at least for Aaron Rodgers at the surface.
Yeah, going into this drama for the second year in a row, I had the same stance I had last year. The longer this plays out, the more likely it is he stays. And it again is looking to be that way. I mean, he's met with the Jets, still hasn't made his decision. The Jets now are getting close. When free agency opens, the Jets need to know, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to go after Jimmy Garoppolo? Are we going to pursue another trade with someone else, Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins? Or are you coming? And that is the decision that they need to make in New York, leading up to 12 o'clock today when they can start talking to free agents. In the next hour, less than an hour now, just over an hour going into it, that is the decision. And my current standpoint is the longer it takes, the more likely it is that he stays. And we did see him this weekend with Brandon Marshall with some, cryptic Aaron Rodgers nonsense as always. He said his decision's coming soon. He also added in something in there with, Brandon Marshall asked if he thinks he can be an all-time great Jet. He had a little quote thrown in there that you got to play for a little longer than 1 year to do that. That could be another hiccup. Potentially, he might not want to play more than 1 year. So at what point, if you're the Jets, do you give up the compensation, which we haven't even talked about? We haven't even talked about the fact that the Green Bay Packers will take on a $40.3 million dead cap hit if they were to move Aaron Rodgers. And then the Jets get in $15.8 on their salary in 2023. And 30.25 in 2024. So that doubles into the second year if Rodgers goes to that second year. And, obviously the compensation with the Packers, will the Packers get the 13th overall pick? Will they even get a first-round pick? At this point, I'm seeing even float around. And they potentially not even could get a first-round pick. But the thing with Rodgers, and like you said, his best shot is still staying in the NFC. That division right now is tough with the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins loading up. You get into the playoff time. You got the, a surging Jacksonville Jaguars. the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champs, the Cincinnati Bengals. That is a tough conference to go into and try to win at, you know, the tail end of your career with a new team, new system, young players, like you mentioned. Aaron Rodgers is probably debating all these things right now. And like you said, it's looking more and more likely that he comes back to Green Bay. So that's Rodgers. We've talked about it on record. You know, for pretty much the first time, I've been shying away from this until we get some news, because I'm tired of the, you know, national media making news out of not knowing news with the Aaron Rodgers situation. And that's pretty much been, you know, the case up until this week with the Jets finally getting involved for real and going out and meeting him. But now the ball's still in Rodgers' court, as it always has been, waiting on a decision to come from the man himself, hopefully this week. So now let's get to the free agents trade. And now with these top guys, the top five out of the way, Jimmy Garoppolo seems like the biggest name on the market. And once we start the legal tampering period at 12 o'clock today and free agency officially opens on Wednesday, Garoppolo seems like the guy that will get the biggest deal out of the bunch. What do you see out of this market and the interest coming from Jimmy Garoppolo going into this week?
I agree with you. Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely looking like one of the top guys in free agency right now. He's arguably in his prime right now. He wins games. It may not be the prettiest, but he does win games for you. And I agree with you. He's got to be one of the top guys in free agency. If our predictions are correct and Aaron Rodgers decides to stay in Green Bay, I see Jimmy G as a fine replacement for both the Jets and the Raiders. I think they're both looking for a similar type guy. And if they're willing to pay Aaron Rodgers, they'll definitely be willing to pay Jimmy G. I think he can fit into offenses pretty well that are already sort of established or just figuring themselves out. And both of those teams are certainly within that category. And I think he's also good enough to service the interest from both of those teams.
Yeah, I would agree. And the one that you didn't throw out there, the team you talked about, the Raiders and the Jets, I think, you know, this is the Jets' plan B. You know, what, you know, if, okay, so if Derek Carr was plan A, I think Rodgers was plan A all along, but Derek Carr off the board now. Jets and Jimmy Garoppolo seems like the plan B scenario, which would make sense, teaming back up in that similar style offense. The other one is the Houston Texans that I've seen float around a little bit. You know, obviously, the number two overall pick, Carolina Panthers, now putting it out there that they could potentially be trading down from the number one pick, so maybe Houston goes up to one. But either way, it seems like Houston will be bringing in a rookie quarterback. But still, there's been some interest in bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo as a free agent on potentially a short-term deal, which makes sense. You know, coming in, the same style offense, you know, that whole crew from San Francisco is moving with DeMeco Ryans. I talked about it my episode talking about the new head coaching hires and the offensive coordinator they brought in from the 49ers to Houston. If you want a seamless transition into this style of offense, you know, the Shanahan, West Coast, San Francisco 49er offense that they're wanting to run now in Houston for a rookie, Jimmy Garoppolo is a great veteran to learn from. And, you know, maybe if they go an Anthony Richardson route, a guy who must, you know, likely will be sitting a year before you want him to take over, sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy who's taken this offense to a Super Bowl, you know, nearly multiple Super Bowls, deep playoff runs as the quarterback of this team and in this system. The Houston Texans are another one, but the Las Vegas Raiders, the reunion with Josh McDaniels seems strong in my opinion. And if a team were to give him a multi-year deal, I think it would be the Jets or the Raiders to give him a multi-year deal, which the projection right now for him on his current market's a four-year, $150 million deal. The Texans aren't dishing that money out. You know, a similar contract to what we saw from Derek Carr makes sense for Jimmy Garoppolo. It'll just be what team makes that choice. And it seems like the Raiders, if they want to, you know, I could see the Raiders, once this thing opens up, pounce on Jimmy Garoppolo before the Jets could get involved, just like we saw with Derek Carr and the Saints. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that, Trey?
I agree. I think the Jets and the Raiders are definitely the top two teams. And yeah, as you said, the Raiders certainly could fit him into that similar offense there. And I agree, jumping on him as quick as possible, because as we mentioned, he is one of the best quarterbacks within this free agency, is definitely in their interest. So yeah, I see him as a perfect fit.
I mean, the guy still played great. He's a winner. 7-3 last year before he went down with his injury. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's also very efficient with the football. Doesn't make mistakes. He's just not the flashiest guy. And that's always been the case with Jimmy Garoppolo. But he's going to have a top market. Looking at these other quarterbacks on this board right now, Jimmy Garoppolo is the one that really is captivating people right now and seems to be the most coveted quarterback in this free agent market. But the other guy, next up on the list that has been on some headlines as of late, we've seen him rumored for the San Francisco 49ers. We've seen him now rumored this weekend to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield. This guy is a one of the most exciting guys when he's on. When Baker Mayfield's on his game, it's must-watch television. That Raiders comeback win like 2 days into being an LA Ram was one of the best games of the year. Just the comeback he had, the improbable Sean McVay getting a quarterback ready, but now Baker Mayfield ready to test the waters. Personally, I wanted Baker Mayfield to stay. I thought, and I still think that's not out of the question with the LA Rams. Sit behind Matthew Stafford. You still don't know the health of Matthew Stafford, but stay in Sean McVay's system. Take the heat off of you a little bit for a year. But the man's getting interest. And I'm not going to hold the man back from going and getting the bag if a team wants to make him their starting quarterback. What are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield as we approach the start of this week?
Yeah, super interesting to hear that he's receiving such high interest. And I'm kind of with you. I think that the Rams are not out of the question, especially as you mentioned there with Matt Stafford's health in question. I think keeping him on is just a fine decision if they do decide to do that. If that is not the case, receiving interest from both San Francisco and Tampa Bay has to be huge news for Baker Mayfield. I kind of want that comeback kid to start here. He feels like he has a little bit to prove now as his full year off. From being a first round for starting games, excuse me, and the opportunity to work with San Fran or the Bucks, teams that are already established and have really good rosters around them, I think that Baker could do well in either of those offenses. Obviously, San Fran more so. We've shown that that offense is adaptable to different quarterbacks, the Kyle Shanahan offense. Really, anyone can run that, and Baker Mayfield is no exception, I think. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is certainly interesting. I think that's been word on the streets that just recently is that they've shown interest. And I'm not against that either. Obviously, there are some bigger issues for the Bucs than there are for the 49ers. But if you're Baker Mayfield, I think you take either of those options given the opportunity.
The thing for me with Baker Mayfield, the best situation is to literally start the guy 1 week, bench him, bring him back off the bench the next week. Do that the entire season because this guy, when he plays with that chip on his shoulder, the guy balls. And when he comes in, I mean, the best 2 games of Baker Mayfield's career, in my opinion, the most exciting. The first game on Thursday Night Football when he came in and replaced Tyrod Taylor with the Cleveland Browns. And then last year, when he came in 2 days into being in LA and played the Raiders, the chip on his shoulder, no one believing in him coming into the game when no one expected him to, and balling out is when Baker plays best. But that's not going to be the case. It seems like, potentially the Buccaneers could dish out the money to make him a starting quarterback. They want some competition for Kyle Trask, whether or not they openly say that they believe in the guy or not. Yes, they took him in the second round, but we haven't seen Kyle Trask. Now, Jason Light, the Buccaneers, they have. So that's kind of unfair to say about Kyle Trask because they've seen him, and it's not his fault he's playing behind Tom Brady the last 2 years. So I am interested to see how Kyle Trask does, but I do think the Buccaneers had to bring in some kind of competition for him. Whether or not that's Baker Mayfield is pretty much determined of what they feel about him. Now, there are quarterbacks on this list that have potentially been linked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we'll talk about as we continue. But I think a quarterback of a star prowess that Baker Mayfield could bring to a locker room. I mean, talk about this the situation that happened at the beginning of the year last year in Carolina. With Sam Darnold already in there, rookie Matt Corral, but they bring in Baker Mayfield at the start of training camp, things got very tense in Carolina for those first few weeks until Baker Mayfield took over the show and they named him as the starter. Ultimately, didn't work out for him in Carolina, but I don't want him to come in and make things tense and awkward in Tampa Bay with Kyle Trask by dishing out a lot of money for Baker Mayfield. If they believe that he's the guy, dish out a little less money for someone else as a true competition, not someone you're paying to be a starting quarterback. So that's why I still see a potential reunion, but it depends really on how Tampa Bay values their quarterback that they already have on the roster. But Baker Mayfield, he's an exciting free agent that's getting a lot of buzz as we go into the week. So next up, Jacoby Brissett. And this is a guy that I think is being heavily underrated right now as a free agent. I expect him to get a pretty big market. And honestly, he's not being talked about enough. That's the way the narratives go. But last year, he was 7-4 as a starting quarterback with the Cleveland Browns, you know, trying to keep the ship level until Deshaun Watson came back and took over that team. But while he was the starting quarterback, top 10 in DVOA, he was playing well and airing that ball downfield with the Cleveland Browns. I see a strong market for Jacoby Brissett that a lot of people aren't keeping their eye on. But I want to hear what your thoughts are on the guy, Trey.
I agree. I think he's definitely going to be able to chase a starting spot. And while the record that he had with Cleveland wasn't great, I think that it doesn't speak to how he performed as a player. He must have exceeded expectations for the Browns, I can imagine, which is really good, obviously, now for him in free agency. There's so many teams he could go to, right? I just think it's difficult to pick. I could see him going to the Colts. I could see him also receiving interest from the Buccaneers. I could see him backing up Kyler Murray if he doesn't return healthy on the Cardinals. I could also see him going to the Steelers as well in some situations, just to ensure that if Kenny Pickett doesn't improve, who do you have someone to fall back on? So many teams he could fit with as either a backup to an injured or a young starting quarterback, or just gathering a starting spot himself.
Yeah, so for me, what I'm thinking about with Jacoby Brissett is kind of a mix of both, of being a veteran backup, but also a potential starter earlier in the season. So the two teams I'm keeping in mind, one we talked about with Baker Mayfield is San Francisco. There's the situation that they have right now with Trey Lance, with Brock Purdy, who has finally now had his elbow surgery. What are the health going to be like of those two guys going into the season? San Francisco is obviously in this market right now. They're in the market for a veteran guy where if they need him to, they can start a veteran at the beginning of the season and not get off on the wrong foot to start the season. So Jacoby Brissett could be in play for the 49ers. The fit I like best for Jacoby Brissett is staying in that same division with the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray rehabbing that ACL, I don't expect him to be ready by the start of the season. And Ian Rappaport has reported that he might miss multiple weeks to start the season. And while Colt McCoy is a great backup quarterback, I would feel a lot more confident and strong with a new regime coming into place in Arizona to bring in a guy like Jacoby Brissett to fill that similar role that he did last year with the Cleveland Browns to start out the season and keep a ship afloat until your starting quarterback comes back. I see Arizona as a strong fit for Brissett, but still, the 49ers could also be in place, Trey, but it's going to be interesting to see, again, the value he can bring in on the open market.
I'm totally excited to see what sort of offers that he receives. I agree with you. I think he could definitely chase that starting spot, and Arizona does seem like a very fine pick for him, given that the situation that we don't know about Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm. All right, so next up, Taylor Heinicke. Washington Commander, a guy who, out of all these players, I haven't seen a lot of buzz around, but I see a very strong backup quarterback market for Heinicke, whether that is, you know, staying in Washington with the Commanders, backing up Sam Howell. I think Ron Rivera is leaning more towards a more seasoned veteran to have behind Sam Howell and potentially going away from Taylor Heinicke. But last year, 5-3-1 as a starting quarterback in Washington. Very odd they benched him and went back to Carson Wentz. And then went on to Sam Howell for that last game of the year. Pretty much ended their season, taking Taylor Heinicke out of the starting lineup. But a guy who last year, 12 touchdowns, 6 picks, played serviceable. And like I said, he got wins for that Washington Commanders team. But I think a backup role more than likely here for Heinicke. Do you have any fit in mind for a team you can see come out and get this guy once the market opens?
Yeah, this one's tough because, like you, I haven't heard much about Taylor Heinicke, and I agree with you. He does deserve to at least try a backup role. I think it'd be interesting to see him go to the Steelers, work behind Kenny Pickett as kind of to light a fire under Pickett and the young gun there, because if he doesn't improve, you need someone, at least, again, serviceable to fall back on. I also see a similar situation happening with Los Angeles and the Rams if they do decide to move on from Baker. Because, again, with the issue of Matt Stafford, you're going to want someone, again, at least serviceable to fall back on. And the Rams have proven that they can work guys in very quickly, as we've seen with Baker Mayfield. So those are the two teams that I see coming to mind, at least first and foremost, because they are in need of backups that can definitely start a game given the opportunity.
So for me, the one I'm looking at here, and it's going to be a wild card, but I see it happening in a backup, true backup role. A team who's going to need one potentially here in the next couple of days with a quarterback on the move we just talked about, I think the Green Bay Packers could be a fit for Taylor Heinicke. You know, bring a guy in who can sit behind Jordan Love, will be relatively cheap. I mean, his market is insanely valuable for the caliber of player you're going to bring into the locker room. To have a backup in place behind Jordan Love that won't pressure Jordan Love back behind him, and a guy who... he's a coach's guy. You know, the coaches love him. He picks up the system really easily. I think he can pick up that LaFleur system pretty easily in Green Bay. So that's a fit I like. Potentially going to the Packers with Taylor Heinicke if they move Aaron Rodgers, of course, within the next couple of days as a backup. So he will be an interesting one to watch. But again, like I said, true backup role, most likely expected. This next one, he's a wild card, mainly because of what we've seen out of the movement the last couple weeks from his team in Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill. And we're getting more buzz right now that we're, you know, I'm seeing coming in on Twitter with the Jets and their plan B scenario. Ryan Tannehill's name is still floating around as a potential trade opportunity. He's on the last deal of his contract right now, a $36.6 million cap hit with the Tennessee Titans, one of the largest in the league. The Titans are wanting to get younger. They moved on from a lot of veterans already. Taylor Lewan, Bud Dupree, Bobby Trees, Randy Bullock. It's a mass exodus right now, and the chopping block's on full display. And Ryan Tannehill might be that next guy that's on the move. Or maybe that running back from the Tennessee Titans could be on the move if they really want to get young and blow that team up right now. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill, if there's a market for him, the Titans could move him, Trey. And I'm interested to see your thoughts.
It's interesting, yeah. I agree the Titans certainly have the potential to move Ryan Tannehill. They also do have the potential to keep him. But given if he does move, I'm interested to hear about this buzz from the Jets. Obviously not their first pick, but as you said, an option B for them. And there are certainly worse option Bs to go with out there. Ryan Tannehill is a seasoned veteran, of course, in the league. I could see the fit with the Jets, give it in a pinch. I wouldn't expect too much success there, too much excitement from either side on that one, though. I think he deserves at least an attempt at a starting spot. And if the Jets are the pick, then so be it. I could also see him going to the Texans if they want to move off of Davis Mills there, just because, again, you're looking for someone to just fit into that offense, and he's certainly a piece that can move around, is very adaptable, as we know. And then, again, that's if the Titans do decide to move on from him in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% within the realm of possibility is that he stays in Tennessee. It would make sense, you know, play out the last year of his deal, and then Tennessee reevaluate this with their new GM next offseason and their quarterback position. But if you can get value for the guy, and, you know, if the GM doesn't see him being a long-term fit, might as well get some capital and some assets while you can, in my opinion. You know, I don't know whether or not you want to go into next year with Josh Dobbs and Malik Willis in your quarterback room, which I think is also the kicker with this Titans situation to consider. But Ryan Tannehill, another player worth mentioning. But next up, Trey, this is, you know, you're, you know, the one you said that you're excited to discuss here and trying to define his market. We're going to work together to find his market. Drew Lock used to be one of the freshest guys in the field at Missouri, and especially during the Denver Broncos when he started out there. But he got traded last year, like I said, to the Seattle Seahawks as part of that Russell Wilson deal. I said that I thought he was going to take the reins in Seattle over Geno Smith, but Geno proved us all wrong. You know, he wrote they wrote him off. He didn't write back. Whatever it was, he said after week one. But Drew Lock took a backseat role in Seattle last year, which in my opinion, for a guy like Drew Lock, I mean, this is like the Mitch Trubisky route, I think, potentially. And it determines of how a team values him going into the market. But Mitch Trubisky was the same way last year. Took the back seat, or 2 years ago, took the back seat behind Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, came out of that one-year deal in the offseason, and now has a new market for him that he didn't have before by taking the heat off his back from what he was doing on the field. Drew Lock could be that guy this year that does that. So now we have to determine what it's going to be. I saw early rumors that he would be the one in Tampa Bay that would come in and compete with Kyle Trask, but not too much, you know, put too much pressure on him as a starter coming in, but still a healthy competition to see who comes out on top. And also the quarterback coach from Seattle, the new Buccaneers offensive coordinator. I don't know how that fit was, you know, with Seattle. And, you know, the coaching staff there with Drew Lock, I haven't heard too much about it with him being in that backseat role the whole year. But if there is a strong fit and, you know, strong ties between those two, I could see them two linking back up with the Buccaneers. Do you see another team on the market for Drew Lock? Do you see a strong market at all for Drew Lock? What do you think you see out of him?
I can't imagine it's too strong for Drew Lock, but you brought up some interesting points for sure. Taking the heat off his back, certainly not showing up too much, maybe has developed into a positive for him. I think the interest from the Buccaneers is interesting. I think that developing, again, that healthy competition for Kyle Trask is important, and Drew Lock seems like a very good fit to do so. Drew Lock could do the similar thing in Atlanta, perhaps. Or maybe even with the Colts, those would be my two teams that also throw in there as a possibility. I think the Colts have just been getting burned by veteran quarterbacks on their own team too much. So maybe Drew Lock's a switch to a younger side that we want to see, and that they at least want to try out as a potential. And I wouldn't be too surprised to see him go there. I wouldn't be too surprised to see him go to the Bucs as well, though. He seems like a good fit just to try and work a guy into maybe develop Kyle Trask into the player that they're looking for, or if he doesn't happen to work out, Drew Lock is a starter that can work in that offense, I imagine.
It'll be definitely interesting to see the kind of market that Drew Lock brings in here in the next few weeks. Last but not least, Trey, and then we'll get to some headlines because, like I said, we're quickly approaching the legal tampering period. We're already seeing some stuff come out. But last one, Andy Dalton. The Red Rider last year took over in New Orleans, pretty much ran away with the starting job with the Saints, but now the Saints have brought in Derek Carr. They have reworked the deal with Jameis Winston, who I was excited to talk about, but Jameis Winston's going to stay in-house in New Orleans and take the backup role behind Derek Carr. Now Andy Dalton is the guy who's on the market now, a very serviceable, very experienced veteran, should have a strong market here. And this is the one I see as a 49ers guy. This is the guy that screams, start a few games, and then be a mentor for the younger guys. What do you think the guy with the red hair does next? Does he go back to a red team? I mean, surely you got to put him back in a red helmet again with the red jersey. It fits.
Yeah, I mean, that would only make sense.
But what do you think? I mean, yeah, the Niners seem like the play here.
You want to put the red rifle somewhere red.
Yeah, red rifle, somewhere red. Those throwbacks, you know, the old Jerry Rice that they brought back with the, you know, the white, and then you got the red numbers. You could see the red locks working with that.
I could, yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that San Fran is a good spot for him. They're looking for a veteran quarterback, as you said, and I think he fits that role perfectly. He's seasoned. He knows plenty of offenses at this point in his career, and I think he'd be a good fit there. Because I would want someone a more veteran, more experienced to balance out the younger quarterbacks that you potentially have in Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. Somewhere else I could see him going is to Washington. That has also got some red in there for him, as seen in that. And I think that'd be a fine fit for him. Obviously, Andy Dalton isn't commanding that much attention, and Washington certainly has the capacity to start him if they choose to do so.
So that wraps up our quarterback market, Trey. But like I said, we got a couple more minutes before we get out of here. And we do have some news. I figured it was going to happen. That's why I want to do the show today. We do have breaking news ahead of the official legal tampering period starting. We have a trade. Jonnu Smith has been traded from the New England Patriots to the Atlanta Falcons in exchange for a 7th round pick. This was a big signing by Bill Belichick. Came out unconventional Bill Belichick when he signed Jonnu Smith, emptied the bag for him and Hunter Henry. But Jonnu Smith, a guy who is more of a traditional wide tight end, being off the line of scrimmage as a receiving option, he lands with Arthur Smith, an old friend from Tennessee in Atlanta. The big bodies are going crazy with the Falcons right now, Trey. I mean, Kyle Pitts, Drake London now, and now you bring in Jonnu Smith to that offense. Two wide tight ends on that team right now. What do you think of this trade? Breaking news here.
That is some pretty huge news, I gotta say. Good for the Falcons. I'm not sure what they're building exactly, but it seems they've got a style of player that they like, and if that's gonna work for them in their offense, go for it. Why not?
And also some Buffalo news that also came in earlier when we started the show. The Bills agreed to terms with punter Sam Martin on a 3-year deal. How about the punter getting the bag, coming back? Love
Good
to
for
see it. The
him.
special
Good for
teams
him.
getting involved, but registered the second most yards per punt in his 10-year career after joining the team in August from Mike Garafolo. So you saw a lot of him last year. Actually, that's not a legitimate take. You didn't see a lot of him last year, but as
Yeah,
a Bills
that's true.
fan,
We didn't see him that
when you
much
did see
because
him
we don't
punt,
punt the ball.
gotta be happy to keep the guy in house.
I'm happy to keep him. Hopefully he doesn't have to see the ball too many times, but in the event that you do have to punt, it's nice to have someone with experience and clearly some success on the team.
All right, Trey. Well, we're almost up here now, to 30 minutes to go until the legal tampering period begins. So last but not least, to wrap it up, do you see what big bold prediction I would say? I'm going to put you on the spot here. In free agency, what's something big that can come out of nowhere? Potential big signing, maybe another big trade that could come out. I'll give you a couple minutes to think about it, but some that come to the top of my head, this receiver class isn't great. I think that is well known. Adam Thielen might be the top guy on the board right now. In that wide receiver market. But still, there's some good running backs out there. I think the running back class is pretty strong with some good value to have. The safety, very good. There's some good offensive alignment in the group. Or maybe what team do you think will be, the biggest spender, even could be your bold prediction. Which team could, come out like Bill Belichick did a couple of years ago and open the bag. So what are you thinking we're going to see here, in the next few hours?
Yeah, super interesting. Bold predictions. There certainly is a lot we could say. Everywhere around the league, potential for Miles Sanders to get out of Philly. I think that you could definitely make some sort of trade for a different running back and are able to get a lot of value for Miles Sanders going somewhere in the AFC. Someone looking for a running back of a little stronger, like perhaps Miami Dolphins, for example. It's interesting to see what potentially could be traded for a guy like that, but I think they definitely have the room to work with him. So I'd be fine with the Eagles trying to get some value out of their star ride running back.
Yeah, I think he could, for sure be on the move. Miles Sanders, joining a new team. I think Miami could be an interesting, suitor. They love their running backs. It seems like that they're willing to let go of the guys that they have. Big Jeff, I think you could bring back Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert with his injuries. I think that you could refill that role more functionally with Miles Sanders, more securely with Miles Sanders, and you still get your speed guy with Jeff Wilson. The one I'm excited about and my biggest name in free agency to watch out for is going to be your guy from Buffalo, Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, the guy's like 24 years old still and has already played out his entire rookie deal. And he's going to be a top linebacker. I mean, Bobby Wagner, he's still up there as well at linebacker. I talked about his release and the market he could have. But Tremaine Edmonds, the guy who has the potential to be just as good and is just now cracking to the surface the way he can turn into in the National Football League. I mean, 24 years old and already played out your rookie deal is pretty insane. And we'll have a big market. Jesse Bates, we're finally seeing him on the open market as well. No longer franchise tag with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a big safety that can get a lot of buzz. Safety class also great as well. But Trey, pleasure as always. Thanks for coming on, discussing this quarterback market. We'll see where some of these guys go and see if some of our predictions and expectations come true as the week progresses. And hopefully some Aaron Rodgers news. It didn't happen during the show. Hopefully it happens soon. But Trey, thanks for joining. It was a pleasure, man.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, I'll be keeping my eyes peeled on the free agency markets. As we said, it's going to be one of the most interesting ones in recent memory for us. So thank you for having me.
Yep. Trey, I appreciate your time and coming on. So that's what we have. Quarterback market underway as we progress to the start of the legal tampering period, the start of free agency. Great to have Trey on as well. Check out the Meadcast on YouTube to find more of Trey and his takes and highlights of games and all the type of stuff that he has out in his content as well on his YouTube page. But thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. We're quickly approaching 50 subscribers. Getting up there as we progress and continue to pump out content on a more weekly basis throughout the off season. But if you like any of the takes or have any, don't like the takes, comments, let us hear it. What do you think is going to happen with these quarterbacks? But leave a like if you enjoyed. Thank you all for listening. And until next time, peace.